Hello, everybody. Welcome again to I've Got a Beatles podcast. And we were just listening to a guitar solo from George Harrison on Back in the USSR from the White Album. And today, we're very excited. Our focus is on all kinds of solos, some really good ones, some really unique ones, and we'll see what happens here. So, Chris, how you doing on today here?
I'm great, Dave. I'm excited to hear some rocking solos and maybe some kind of ones that you didn't notice. I definitely, going through this, my eyes were awoken to a couple like things, like, you know, particularly like there's a bad boy as the most screaminest solo I've ever heard, and you know, a couple other things like that, you know, piano solo and this or that. It's like, oh, that's a piano solo. I didn't even notice. So I think we'll have a good time listening to some solo tunes. And let's do them. We're gonna do them chronologically, and that kind of gives you an idea, like the evolution of solo work.
Yeah, there. You can really tell a difference in their musicianship from when they first started out recording "Please Please Me" in one day, basically live, all the way to Abbey Road. And their solos became a lot more interesting, I think you'd say, maybe, and more thought out and more technically interesting. So I want to talk, before we even get going here, what we mean by solo. Because the Beatles aren't a band that you really think of as like having a Jimmy Page or an Eric Clapton or some really obvious type of solo guitar player. I mean, yeah, George was the lead, but the Beatles weren't a jamming band, so when you think of guitar solos, or do you think of solos, what do you think of in the Beatles? What stands out to you? What's the features of them?
Well, one thing I definitely stood out was like when I was going through, I went through pretty much every song quickly, and I was like, does this have a solo or does it not? And what I noticed, that 9 times out of 10, if it did not have a solo, it had a bridge, a sung bridge.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that I think that they'd choose, you know, sometimes to go one route, and the other time they'd be like, let's not have it. Let's just have a little break for George to play. And and the other thing, and I mentioned it when I mentioned Bad Boy, is a lot of these start. In fact, the first one we'll play here starts with a little bit of a John screaming, and then they start their solo. It's almost humorous how many of them there are in the say 5 or 6 albums, and then, you know, that's probably where they stopped doing that and started to get a little more interesting.
Well, you know, why would they do that? I guess because it's, think about it, a lot of those songs were live songs, and if you're playing in front of an audience and before the guitar player plays a solo, you scream and get the crowd really into it, and then they look and focus on the guitar player, and then he jams away, and it builds up the excitement. So that's why there's all those screams. And as Chris said, the first song we're going to look at on our Best Beatles Solos list here, it comes from their first album. In fact, it's the first song on the album, I Saw Her Standing There.
Yeah, and what you just mentioned there, that song starts with the 1, 2, 3, 4, which you usually don't hear on recordings, and that the idea from George Martin was he enjoyed their live performances so much that, at least in the first few albums, he wanted to capture kind of a live feel of it. So this solo definitely has a feeling of a live solo you might hear on stage. Let's hear it from I Saw Her Standing There.
I think a lot of people, when they first get into the Beatles, don't realize how hard that solo is to play, actually. If you're a guitar player, trying to play that really accurately is not easy. It's crisp, it's rhythmically interesting, and it fits so well in that break, or in that section. So it's deceivingly simple. But I remember my guitar teacher, when I first was learning guitar, my guitar teacher, Mike, was a huge fan of that solo, and he said that was the song that got him into playing guitar because of that wow. solo. So it is a pretty great one.
It sounds similar to, there's several similar sounding solos from that early era, kind of like Roll Over Beethoven, I Want to Be Your Man, Money, Long Tall Sally is a pretty good one from the early days, I Call Your Name, Slow Down, Matchbox. They've all got kind of like a solo break with a let's have George play real good kind of thing on it. So we won't be redundant and play a lot of those. But the other Please Please Me solo that might stand out a little bit is the harmonica solo off Love Me Do, which is very, very, like you said, deceptively simple. That was just simple. But,
no deceptively about
no
it.
No deception about that one. But, you know, it's obviously a pretty famous thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to play, though, one from the second album, which is more of an acoustic solo and a song that most people don't think of that much is Till There Was You, which is a song originally in The Music Man,
right?
That the Beatles covered in the early days and really well. But this acoustic lead guitar solo by George Harrison is very good, and let's hear it.
Till There Was You.
That's the solo from Till There Was You from With the Beatles. And I think the thing that people say about George's guitar playing, I'd say two things about it. One, it's really dependent on the type of guitar he's playing. He didn't play the same type of guitar all through the group, so it sounds different each time he plays. The first song we heard he was playing is Gretsch, Country Gentleman, which was his main guitar from the first couple Beatle years, that really crisp electric. And then that one was an acoustic guitar, and it has a totally different sound. But so the first thing I'd say is to listen to George's guitar, know what he's playing, because they all have different sounds. And then the second is that it's a very good example of how George plays. It's very melodic. It's not bluesy. It's not just playing a bunch of licks like a lot of guitar players. It's very tasteful. It fits the melody of the song, and it's very memorable, too. You can remember, you can sing it.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting, too. I haven't done this recently, but there's a version of that on live at the BBC, and I think there's another one on Anthology.
Mm-hmm.
That has just a slightly different feel to it. So it'd be good to compare, you know, if he's playing off what he's playing in those, you know, if he's playing the same instrument or not.
Yeah. The next song we have on our list is, actually, it's kind of a 1-2 here, another acoustic one. This is actually played on a classical guitar from the movie and the album A Hard Day's Night. This is probably one of Paul McCartney's first really great ballads, and it's called And I Love Her. And you can actually see in the movie Hard Day's Night, you can see George playing this on his classical guitar. And here's what it sounds like.
I love her.
Got a little tick tick in the back there.
Those, yeah, claves there.
Clave. Tick tick clave.
Yeah. That solo always stands out because it happens at a key change. If you're a musically inclined person listening, you know what a key change is, and it's a big shift. Sounds very different, and it's the thing that leads into it, so it always stands out to me. So far, we've had three different, well, I guess two sort of similar type sounds from George, and then the really rockin' electric guitar, and you want to move on to another type of George sound as we go to the next album.
Yeah, this song off of this album, the album's not particularly all that good. It's Beatles for Sale. There's a lot of duds on that one, unless you really like Honey Don't, which has a... I was looking at that earlier. It has a long and bizarre kind of solo, too. It's like, well, man, this is a very long solo. What's going on?
And that's when Ringo keeps saying, play it one time for me, George.
Come on, George, play it again, George. Every time Ringo has a song and they need to get to a solo, he doesn't realize that you can just stop singing and play solo. He's always like, all right, let's hear it, George. Come on, George.
He does that in Boys too, right?
Yeah.
All right, George.
but the song I'm thinking of is "I'm a Loser," which is the second song on the album. Really good solo with a different kind of sound to it again. So let's have a listen.
I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Done.
Well, I said solo. I should have said solos.
Yeah.
As that's John Lennon on a hot harmonica solo.
A mouth organ.
followed by George Harrison's lead guitar solo there with a kind of a more of a filtered guitar sound. So pretty good solo, I think.
And that song is a great song. It's very Bob Dylan influenced with the harmonica, with the way John sings it, with the lyrics. And then you get a little bit of country in there too, with George's solo has some country influences in it. But it's got a nice, bright, clean sound to go along with the harmonica. So
I love that song. Paul once said of it, looking back on it, I think songs like I'm a Loser and Nowhere Man were John's cries for help.
Hmm.
We used to listen to quite a lot of country and western songs, and they're all about sadness.
Oh,
and
wow.
I lost my truck. So so it was quite acceptable to sing I'm a Loser. It's only later you think, God, I think it was brave of John.
Oh.
So
wow.
It ended up at the end being a compliment. It's
That's a typical Paul kind of comment there.
And then in the 1980 interview where they basically, the Playboy interview, where they sat down with him and basically went through almost every track of the Beatles and asked him this or that about it, he said, part of me suspects I'm a loser and part of me thinks I'm God Almighty, and then he laughed.
That's a very Lennon thing to say too. Yeah. So we go from I'm a Loser to another song from the same year, and this is, it wasn't in the movie Help, but it was on the Help album, at least in the UK, and then it was on Rubber Soul in America. And it's an acoustic song. Things were slowing down a little bit, and a little bit more mellow. And this is another McCartney song called I've Just Seen a Face. And you and I have always loved this song. We've recorded it a couple times, and I have them in the archives somewhere.
You can hear me doing a kind of goofy background. Okay. Falling, yes, yep. I'm falling.
You do some fine harmony there. Fine background vocals. So.
Thanks.
But, so this is a nice acoustic solo here. So here's I've Just Seen a Face from the Help album.
And Jiggy's calling me back again. Thank you.
noticed some bubba-da-bups in there, too.
I did notice some bubba-da-bups.
And I another thing that, and this, we, when we were talking about this episode before the episode, or pre-interview before the interview, we were mentioning some things that aren't are solos, kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
And this song's a good example. Like, right at the beginning, there's that doodly 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 doo, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But that, you can't really say it's a solo. It's
just an introduction. Yeah.
An introduction, a really killer guitar introduction. So.
Yeah. And that solo is kind of like a lot of other ones around that period where George would, he basically takes the melody and embellishes it a little bit. So it sounds like the melody. So it keeps, it's very commercial, actually, because it keeps it in your head as Paul comes in with the chorus again. So it's a nice sound, and again, with the acoustic versatility.
Yeah, I was thinking how here, it sound, about this period is when they got away from, and I think what made the Beatles For Sale not a very good album altogether was they just got in, they were in such a pattern of having a, you know, if we're going to have a solo, it's got to be a, you know, a George,
yeah,
regular sounding guitar solo. And a good example on this album is you've got the Hide Your Love Away has a solo on it that's more just a,
yeah, played by flutes, or a flute. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, we're starting to discover that we can use different instruments.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, we can mix it up a little bit more, yeah, than we had been doing.
And speaking of mixing it up a little bit, the next track really does that. And this is the first on our list that's not actually played by a Beatle, but it's played by their producer, George Martin. And it's on, this is definitely in our top tier list. We made a little, this list that we're reading from today has top members and then sort of a second tier, which are still great too. But this is definitely in our top list here. And this is the song In My Life, which features a piano solo played by George Martin. And then we'll listen to it and then tell you a little bit about it, why it doesn't sound quite like you think it should. That was George Martin's piano solo, and what's the first thing that stands out about it to you when you hear that solo? It's a piano, but it doesn't sound like a piano.
It sounds sort of like a harpsichord, but yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It, you know?
Yeah, and the reason that that's true. And so the way they recorded it is pretty neat. George Martin recorded it much slower than that, and then they sped the tape up because he said he couldn't play it as fast as they wanted it in the actual recording. So he, you know, there's some studio wizardry, but that solo is recorded slower, and then they just sped it up and fit it right in, so it sounds a little bit like a harpsichord. And it's also different sounding because it has a little bit of Baroque feel to it. Sounds a little bit like Bach or something more classical than what we've heard up to this point.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very, yeah, cool. And, you know, once again, this album starts pushing more boundaries. Obviously, Norwegian Wood. I mean, yeah, there's not really a solo on there, but they're just kind of repeating the thing. But it's, you know, it's obviously sitar. And then I was thinking Nowhere Man's got some real interesting kind of,
mm-hmm,
sounds to it. And Michelle has got that guitar that's like real muted, that boom,
yeah,
kind of like almost in the background. So yeah, they're starting to really kind of at that point get crazy good at making all of the song real interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Rubber Soul has a lot of really good stuff on it as well. The next album, Revolver, we're going to play a song now, again, continuing the classical tradition here, the song For No One, which features a horn. And I'm a horn player, and so it's always been a very famous solo in the repertoire. It's not exactly up on your orchestral excerpts auditions to be in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, but it is a very famous solo for horn, and it's a very hard one, too. It was played by a horn player named Alan Civil, who was in the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and was a very classically trained, legit player, and then the Beatles asked him to come and play this solo, and what stands out about it is it's extremely high. And I remember reading an interview with him, and he said it was hard to play it because it fell into the cracks with intonation with the sound of the horn and trying to fit it with the rock, with the bass and piano and drums. So it's very beautiful, though, and definitely a highlight of this song. Which, I don't know, what are your thoughts on "For No One" as a song and the solo?
This song to me is always underwhelm me slightly, and I think it might be just because it's a little similar to a couple other songs where Paul is being contemplative.
Yeah,
I mean, and so, but this solo is definitely the standout thing in the song, and kind of almost makes the song for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Let's hear it.
All right, here it is.
You think she needs you, and in her eyes you see nothing.
Wow, that's even now hearing it a millionth time here, it's just so perfect in that spot. And he actually plays it twice. He plays it as a solo there, and then at the end, when Paul's singing the last chorus, I think, or repeats the first verse, he plays it. Alan Civil plays it again, and it's even more.
Which we excluded a couple other songs because they repeated a solo, but which made it not a solo, just part of the song structure. But this is definitely like the standout thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really good, really great. The another song on that album, which we'll play here, is we were talking about how they started getting really, you know, we talked about how they altered the piano solo to make it a harpsichord. Well, this one is one of their first uses of backwards tape. The yawning effect of this guitar solo on "I'm Only Sleeping" is a guitar that's recorded backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear John Lennon right before things say "Yawn, Paul," and then you'll hear this solo. So let's hear it.
So here's "I'm Only Sleeping" from Revolver.
A funny story about this is apparently they were at a late, very, very late night session working on this song, and someone sort of absent-mindedly accidentally put the tape on backwards and hit play, and George was like, "Whoa, that's awesome." and he was like, "Let's do it for real." So he wrote the solo and played it twice, once forward and once backwards, with fuzz effects on one of the tracks. So.
Wow,
pretty interesting. It's one of the most unique sounding things, I think, and at that time, just mind blowing.
Mind blowing, very psychedelic, and it fits the song, doesn't it? With the lyrics that are very sleepy, trippy, kind of dreamlike, and I think it's a good sound in there. And there's all these other little effects throughout the song that comes back. Those little backwards guitar licks come back here and there throughout the song. So.
I also wanted to mention on this album, we won't play this one, but "Yellow Submarine" has an all crazy noises solo in it.
It's the crazy noises solo.
Yeah. So But good, you know, obviously one of their best albums, so...
Yeah. We go from there back to the classical world again, and that we're in 1967 now on their first big single with Strawberry Fields, and then the other side of the record was Penny Lane. Anybody who knows Penny Lane knows the famous piccolo trumpet solo that just is a real standout here. And the story goes that Paul was watching TV and watching the BBC one night and saw an orchestra playing Johann Sebastian Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 2, which features a piccolo trumpet solo. And he came in the next day and asked George Martin if he could include that on the song they were working on, which was Penny Lane. And so the Beatles being the Beatles and knowing everybody and being able to bring in the best, called up David Mason, who was the principal trumpet, I think, in Philharmonia Orchestra in London.
Not to be confused with the David Mason from the band Traffic.
That's true. Different David Mason. Or, as I saw on Wikipedia, David Mason the murderer. None of the above here. So this is...
Well, he murders this solo, right?
I think I better just play the solo here. So here's David Mason's piccolo trumpet solo on Penny Lane. And then I want to hear what you think about it. It's a clean machine.
What strikes me about it is that how good they were at being like, you know what, this song, we're really trying to express sort of a British feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like a British neighborhoody feeling. How can we do that? And it's like, oh, let's throw a little bit of British grandeur with a trumpet solo.
Yeah.
So I think it sounds perfect to me. It's just...
Very royal.
Yeah, definitely one of the best solos. Great performance, and
And like for no one, it comes back at the end, and he plays the trumpet solo right at the end a little bit too. So I know this coming back to it again here, right? Well, you got to pay the guy. You make him earn his money here.
yeah, you got to get your worth out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
that song and for no one. I have to say, quick side story here. When I taught. Taught a Beatles class, which I always do, but I taught it the first time when I was at a university in Missouri, and at the end of the semester we put on a Beatles concert, me and a couple members of the class, and we brought in my colleague, I'm a music theorist, and I was playing guitar and singing, and we brought in the horn player, the horn professor, and the trumpet professor to play For No One and Penny Lane, and they were so excited. They thought that was the most fun thing ever. And I could hardly play without laughing because it was so cool. It was like, oh, here's the solo. There it is. And they played them really well. So a lot of good memories on both those tunes when you put them together. Much cooler than a synthesizer. I mean, get a real player here. So
that is very cool.
Yeah. So fun story. I wish we'd recorded it. But anyway, so Penny Lane.
And then the next track from the same era is from Sgt. Pepper's. And I think this is interesting because we were kind of, when we were doing the research, listening to some of the early solos and how kind of a little sloppy and a little plodding they were, you know. And I think that this solo actually isn't that much different than those early solos, except for... all of the bells and whistles and guitar sound and recording techniques that are being used on it. And it's fixing a hole from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Let's hear it, and then we'll hear what you think about it.
And it really doesn't matter. again, it's a perfect type of solo for that song. Fits in well. It's, again, trippy lyrics. And I think you're right. It's not technically that difficult to play, but the sounds really make it stand out. And the way the guitar is processed sounds really unique. And I think at that point, I think at Sgt. Pepper, George was playing a Strat, a Fender Stratocaster, if I remember correctly. And so it has a little bit more of a bite to it. And that comes through with that sound. So I've always loved that solo. So now we move away from psychedelic Beatles and into old-time kind of 50s sounding. And this one sort of slipped under the radar until we brought it up at the last minute of our pre-show here. And forgot about this one. But it's a very cool solo play.
I'm embarrassed, too, because I used to, as you remember,
yeah.
I used to play a tenor saxophone, not very well, but I used to play it.
I know. And this
actually got kicked out of performance for being so bad at it.
Oh, no.
It had to... That's why I got stuck doing composition. No, I'm kidding. But,
wow.
But yeah, it's how did we forget?
I didn't know.
Good old Lady Madonna.
Lady Madonna with a great sax solo right in the middle of that one. So why don't we check out Lady Madonna?
Yeah, and that sax solo was played by a British jazz musician and club owner, Ronnie Scott, and it had a lot of, the mix used in the single had a lot of that sax playing removed, but if you hear it on Anthology 2 and Love, there's even more of it, actually, towards the end of the song.
Mm-hmm. And it is kind of, you can tell his background is kind of jazzy. The licks he's playing are kind of jazzy. On the single, it's a little bit overshadowed by the I like the background vocals again. Paul likes to have background vocals over his solos. It sounds like Michelle and other songs here.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It makes it sound really cool and really. Once again, maybe part of why we forgot it is because it's like, oh, they're singing there too, you know.
Exactly.
So so that's a real. Good one, real fun one.
Yeah.
So we move on to the White Album. Now, we went through a lot of the White Album. There was a lot of different things we could have played, including Piggy's solo is actually pretty good.
Surprisingly good.
Which is surprisingly, and still we can't bring ourselves to play Piggy's. But the obvious one, the one that stands out, is our good old buddy EC.
Yes. If you remember from our Who Was the Fifth Beatle episode, we mentioned Eric Clapton, and it was mainly for his work on this song and for that guitar solo on While My Guitar Gently Weeps when he was brought in to play on George's tune, which this is one of the all-time classic solos on a Beatles song. I think it's definitely, this is our top tier for sure. So we may have played it on that show, I can't remember, but in any case, it's worth hearing again. So let's check out EC on While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
That solo is obviously brilliant, and it and there's several other things on the White Album like it. Back in the USSR, which we heard earlier, Your Blues, which we couldn't really even pinpoint a guitar solo in your blues, because the whole thing's kind of a guitar solo.
Yeah.
And awesome. Very good. But we won't play that one. But and Helter Skelter's got a good little guitar solo in it, too. Like a nasty little... just how hard rocking that they finally were like, oh, we can really, like, rock really hard when we want to. And yeah. I think those are three good examples of that. We were going to play a couple more interesting ones from the White Album. But, yeah, this is definitely a case where it's like, wow, that's rock music.
That's pretty brilliant, especially that solo. As I was just listening to it again, thinking about how well that fit in. It's a great blues solo. You can tell a lot of the blues influence there, and Clapton was right in the middle of Cream. I don't know when White Room and those sorts of songs, that was the same year, so he was at the peak of his playing in Cream, and you can tell he's just right on with that tune.
So. Yeah, and the next one we're going to play is actually the song you do not think of this song as a rocking... rock song, really, kind of because a lot of the instrumentation. But in the middle of it, and this was one of the biggest surprise ones for me, which is, I think, why we're playing it over maybe Piggies or something else, is Savoy Truffle, which has just a really killer solo in it. And let's hear it.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty too, isn't it? With the horns and
yeah,
got a lot of grit on that tune.
Yeah, the horns dirty it up somehow. Yeah, it's really pretty good.
Yeah, I think in informal discussions that I've had with some friends in the past, we voted George as most improved Beatle, and that's a really good example. In fact, the last four examples we have, including that one, are all really top-notch George solos. And you think where he started. Actually, if you want to go back to the Beatles Anthology 1, you can hear some flub tracks. And there's one, I can't remember if it's one after 909 or something, but George's solo is so bad, everyone starts laughing. That's how bad it is. And then here we go, just six, seven years later, and we're on Savoy Truffle, and then into the next tune, which is another George song. And it just raises the bar so much here.
Yeah, this next song, more of a single, is Old Brown Shoe. Of course, you can get it on Past Masters Volume 2. And I don't think Old Brown Shoe is like a song you really even think of that much. But
no.
But this solo is pretty good. Let's hear it, and then we'll talk about it.
So that's George on Old Brown Shoe, which... When was the first time you heard Old Brown Shoe? Because I definitely remember when I heard it.
Oh, it's definitely on that Red album.
The Blue album, right?
Red and Blue albums. Yeah, it was on the Blue one, yep. Right?
Me too.
Yeah, and that's an introduction for a lot of people to the Beatles were, you know, those records.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'd get them on record, too.
You gotta get them on record, yeah.
But here's an interesting tidbit about the George, just about this song.
Yeah.
I don't know when we'll get back around to this song again. George, McCartney plays the piano pretty well.
Yeah.
And backing vocals. John Lennon backing vocals. And he played guitar, but it was erased from the final recording.
Oh.
But you notice a bass on it.
Which is great. Yeah.
And the bass guitar is played by George.
Oh.
And here's an excerpt from Cream Magazine. If you remember Cream Magazine back in the day.
C-R-E-E-M.
Interview with George. It says, "You also told me you played bass on an Old Brown Shoe. George, it's like a lunatic playing." Cream, "It sounds like McCartney was going nuts again." George, "That was me going nuts. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, what I do on the guitar." So
it sounds like a guitar player playing bass. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with George. Exactly.
So this is pretty funny, but that, yeah, that solo is like kind of, and the whole song's kind of frenzied in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Which gives it a good energy, if you ask me. So.
Yeah, definitely. The next one does not have energy in that type of way, but it's still a great, it's one of the classic Beatles songs of all time, for sure. And this is the title song off the Let It Be album. And we put Let It Be here because it was recorded before Abbey Road, even though it came out later. So we're going chronologically by recording. But the interesting thing, and maybe you want to talk about this, is there's two versions of Let It Be. There's the song on the album, and then there was the single. And they both have different guitar solos.
I think most people's first introduction to Let It Be is the single version.
Yeah.
Because that's the version they play on the radio. Mm-hmm. And that's the version you'd hear if you had the Blue album or something like that. So I heard that many, 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 many times. And then they started doing those CD releases of the Beatles in the late 80s and early 90s. And they'd release like two at a time. And I got Let It Be. And that was the first time I'd heard this version that we're going to play and this solo. And I was just blown away. I was like, whoa, that solo's awesome. Like, why is that? Why is that not on the now? The version that's on the single isn't bad, but it's really muted and it's kind of flanged up, and so it sounds a lot different than this album. And this is the sort of hard rock album version that we're gonna hear.
Yeah, such a different version that he recorded. The notes I have here. So on April 30th, 1969, he overdubbed the new solo, which was the one you hear on the single, and then he overdubbed another one on January 4th, 1970, which was the album. And
yeah,
such a different sound. I mean, it's got the distortion on it and much more biting, stinging kind of sound to it.
Another, if you like this song, I really, really recommend looking at the probably bootleg copy of the Let It Be movie, because they've got a whole section where they're recording this, and you can hear the guitar like way more prominently throughout.
Yeah,
and you hear the backing vocals in that section, in all of the section, like. Ooh, and John really singing like very loudly, like ooh. It's very interesting. It's really cool too. It's like it's like hearing it in a whole new way and bringing it. You know, they do this on that classic albums thing where they pot stuff down and pot stuff that you normally don't hear up, and that's kind of what it's like. Just like being in the room, hearing like, oh, John's thing. Oh, that's gonna be prominent in the song, and then in the final recording, it isn't.
You know? Right, so. Exactly.
We were talking about how improved George was.
Yeah, yeah.
And on this album is that the song One After 909 again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we almost included it saying like, wow, this... And the way I said it was like, well, this solo is just kind of like an early Beatles solo, but played amazingly.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, they're just so good at playing their instruments that, you know, that solo he couldn't even handle when they tried to record it is just like phenomenal on this.
Yeah. And that was most of Let It Be was recorded live on the rooftop, and that one after 909, you can watch that in the movie too and see the rooftop or watch it on YouTube now. And it's, yeah, it's pretty great. So yep. George definitely gets most improved Beatle. And I think as we go into our last song, to go riff off of that again, this may be George's best solo in the Beatles. It certainly is one of the most memorable, way top tier. It's one of his best solos on his best song, maybe. So,
yeah, one of the best Beatles songs, one of the best Beatles solos. Yeah,
it's kind
of
got everything. Best bass line.
I shouldn't have even said Beatles. One of the best songs.
Best songs,
one of the best solos.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's hear it from Abbey Road.
Here's something. Boy, that has all the elements of a great George Harrison solo. Very melodic, just got it all together.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an awesome, awesome song. And this, I think if we highlight anything in this episode, it's how good of a guitarist George Harrison was as a solo guitarist. So,
definitely. And he hadn't even started playing slide very much by this point, which is what he played a lot of in the solo career when he really became noted as a slide player.
Great. Well, that's our episode. I think we discovered a lot of new things. I think if you go in and dig in and just think about some solos and try to look at a couple things, you know, you're going to find some big surprises. And one of the biggest surprises, we'll go out on this, one of the biggest surprises was that there's actually a pretty good solo in Piggies of all songs. So let's go out on Piggies.
All right. I think we'll have to do it. It's the fantastic harpsichord solo in Piggies. You might as well go out with a George Harrison tune on the White Album. And so here's George Harrison's Piggies. Thanks a lot for listening. And I know it was a little weird. We just played lots of clips of short parts of songs, but I think you'll enjoy it more when you hear the full song, and then the solos will really even stand out more to you. And even in this song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Here's Piggies.